KA2PTE, 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 WB4AIO calling your station and carefully listening.
Okay, WB4AIO from KA2PTE, I copy your transmission on the virtual ionosphere. Good morning to you. It looks like it's about 10:27 a.m. over here, and I got up a little early and got a nice fresh start for a change in the morning and got my coffee, and I seem to be getting in the groove gradually. So how's my audio quality over there at your QTH? WB4AIO from KA2PTE.
Okay, KA2PTE. Excuse me. Got a slight frog in my throat there. This is WB4AIO. You're sounding perfect, and you don't sound nasal. You don't sound stuffed up. So, hey, maybe your health is improving. I haven't been on the radio much lately. As I think I might have told you, my wife is going to have a baby, and so we're doing all kinds of preparatory work for that and big life event. So haven't had much time for the radio or my amplifier or the various other things that are involved in ham radio. But here I am anyway. I did listen to the informal Liberty Net, which sort of existed last Sunday night. But I did not check in because K1YW was sort of mocking the Liberty Net review and calling it the Liberty Net postmortem. And I don't know. I didn't feel comfortable with that. So I'm not one to shy away from an argument, but at that point I didn't have a lot of time and I was doing some work technically on the station. As you know, I have amplifier problems. And so just decided not to check in. I did listen to it for a bit, and there were some good discussions. It wasn't all mockery, but just it never said that it was the Liberty Net informal Liberty Net on 160 last Sunday. It was just a random discussion, and in fact, the mockery sort of implied that he would stand by if the quote-unquote post-mortem came on, but it didn't, so the random discussion continued. But the discussion did have some good aspects. I did not classify it as a recorded official Liberty Net. Maybe I should have, but I didn't. Let's see what's going on here. Well, the weather is slightly above freezing. It's been going up and down into the upper 30s and then down into the teens. And we have days of rain and we have days of snow. We have days of melting. And then the white stuff comes back again. Right now, I think we have about a 40 or 50% snow coverage. It's thin and the ground is turning soggy again since it just got up above freezing. This is a kind of a wet place. Mineral Point is kind of a wet place north of Johnstown here. It reminds me a lot of Juneau, Alaska, where I grew up. I hope my audio is okay. Last week I changed the configuration. This week I changed it a little bit again, trying to get rid of all of those glitches. Even though I got rid of most of the glitches last week when I listened to the recording of our Liberty Net review, I heard a few glitches. They're very minor, but I could hear them in my headphones, and I hope I've gotten rid of them this week. I hope everything sounds 100%. And I do have some clips ready to play of last night's Liberty Net, and I heard your participation, and your signal was decent for the most part. There were a few places where it faded out, probably because the band was going long, but then the band sort of came back in again and didn't go quite as long, and then your signal came up. So if everything is working right, I guess we can get into that, since that is the purpose of the Liberty Net review, to comment on and review and promote the Liberty Net, which is an HF radio net on the real ionosphere on 3995 kilohertz two nights a week, Wednesday nights at 10 Eastern Time, Eastern U.S. Time, and on Saturday nights on 3995 kilohertz, the same frequency, at 10 p.m. Eastern U.S. Time. And then on Sunday nights, there is sometimes, fairly often, an informal LibertyNet discussion at 9:30 or 10 p.m., but it's on 160 meters. 1988 kilohertz is the normal frequency for that, plus or minus the interference, but usually it's 1988 kilohertz. And sometimes the Wednesday, and that, by the way, that informal net is Sunday nights, but sometimes the Wednesday and Saturday night nets will switch to 1988 kilohertz if the band is so long that propagation just isn't working on 75 meters for most of the net participants. Occasionally, the net will switch to 1988 kilohertz on 160 meters, which usually when 75 is long, 160 is much better. Unfortunately, some of the participants don't have 160-meter capabilities. So anyway, that's an overview for anybody who might be listening in on CQ100 to our conversation. And we will be playing on this LibertyNet review. We will be playing some clips from the LibertyNet and commenting on the clips and commenting on the subjects that are raised on the clips. Since the LibertyNet is a current events discussion net and also a discussion of ideas, sometimes even political ideas or philosophical ideas or even religious ideas, we'll be offering some of our own comments here. And anybody who wants to break in is, of course, welcome to do so and add your own comments, even if you think we need to be reeducated. KA2PTE. And the LibertyNet Review, this is WB4AIO, standing by.
Okay, Kevin. Yeah, good transmission there. No anomalies or anything like that in the audio quality, sounding good here. WB4AIO from KA2PTE. Yeah, good luck with the upcoming, I guess, new child there, I guess. Yeah, that explained, that would be why you're kind of preoccupied doing other things. That's probably a enormous undertaking, so good luck with that, and hope it works out well. And I think there probably would be some people out there that think we need what do they call it, sensitivity training perhaps. But yeah, we do welcome their perspective on things. That's one thing I like about the LibertyNet. It's sort of an open-minded discussion. I think as long as it's left kind of simple like that, you know, where people get in there and just, you know, put out their thoughts without fear of judgment, it's got a very therapeutic value. I know for me, after being here a couple of years, I've really found it's something to kind of look forward to each Wednesday and Saturday, and now here we are on Sunday. You know, the LibertyNet is a current events discussion that's been on amateur radio since 1974, and it looks like it was originally on Saturdays, and I think Marty N2IRJ pioneered the Wednesday session that's still going on, and here we are, you know, trying to push forward into new territory and see if we can attract any new any interest from any new people out there that are unfamiliar with the LibertyNet. So I fired up the QSO TV and I transmitted a sort of what I guess what it looks like is sort of a card that's got the LibertyNet. It's got your website on it for $39.50, and it describes the LibertyNet and a little bit to anybody that may be unfamiliar with it. And I also have a closing picture now too that Paul in our email list made up for us, so I can actually transmit that. It's more or less a one of those old-fashioned Indian style like they used to have on TV at the end of the night when the broadcast stations would go off the air. It's something like that that Paul made for the Liberty Net. So I'll be using that. I'll be putting that on the QSO TV when we're done. So we're gaining some ground. And, yeah, I don't know if Greg really understands what we're doing here. I think he, at one point, he had CQ 100 installed, and it didn't work too well on his platform, whatever he was using, so he removed it, and later he's going to try getting it back again. But, you know, we originally called this the Liberty Net Epilogue, which does sound sort of post-mortem. You know, it sounds like, you know, the Liberty Net Morgue or something like that. You know, it didn't really, for a choice of words, I think review is better. So we've been calling it the Liberty Net Review. And I guess maybe some people on the informal Liberty Net on 160 on Sundays don't really care for whatever we're doing, you know, because we tried to kind of carry this momentum there, but it doesn't seem to have attracted too much interest there, which is fine, you know, if they want to keep doing their sort of whatever discussion they're doing there, you know, if that's good for them, fine. There's plenty of room, you know, there's plenty of other options going on here. So for the time being, I think we're doing okay, considering what's going on overall in the big picture of things. So yeah, it was a pretty good net last night. Propagation was decent, and I think we went about three, maybe four rounds or so, and it looks like you got a recording. I know I checked your site, and it looks like you posted last night's recording, and I was just sort of listening to the tail end of it before 10:30 rolled around, just before now, so was kind of thinking about some of the topics that were mentioned there, and yeah, so I guess with that, I'll throw it over to you, and you can pick a clip and kick off the Liberty Net review, and we'll see how things turn out. But in the meantime, if there's anybody else out there that wants to break in and let yourself be known, you can do so, and we'll put you into the discussion, or you can transmit a picture on QSO TV. I'll be watching that, and you can check in that way if you want. If you hear anything interesting you want to comment on, feel free to do that. Otherwise, if we don't hear anything, we'll proceed back over to WB4AIO, and he'll play some clips of last night's Liberty Net. WB4AIO from KA2PTE.
Okay. KA2PTE, WB4AIO in Western Pennsylvania. Well, let's go with our first clip, and this is a clip of a very famous Liberty Net participant. Take a listen.
Good participation, and I guess we'll see if anybody's around for the 160-meter net tomorrow. And I guess I'll say also, you know, as a reminder, anybody out there that's listening and wants to get into our web resource for the Liberty Net, we've got an email list and a schedule of emails that go out on schedules announcing what kind of Liberty Nets we got going on, because we have the Wednesday, the Saturday, and then we've got a new thing called the Liberty Net Review that we do on a CQ100 platform on Sunday, sort of in the early morning, but you need the CQ100 software transceiver on your computer to pick that up. And then we've got a 160-meter, pretty much HF lower sideband net that happens at about, I think it's about 9:30 at night. I think Richie said he was there last week. So that sounds like it's going along pretty well. So we're trying to expand the Liberty Nets and attract some more attention and participants in any way that we can. And the URL for the email list is, it would be https://, the word groups, and then a .io/T, and then another /, and then the word LibertyNet, all in one word. So
https://group.io/g/libertynet. So anybody can join on that. You don't even have to be a ham radio station. You can be a listener, and you can join in there and keep up on what's going on in between the nets and stuff like that. So I guess that's about it, with a good net, and I'm guessing this is probably the 73 round, at least for me, so I'll say 73 to all the stations out there listening, and thanks to the stations that participated. Back to KAHJOY and the Liberty Net from KA2PTE.
Thank you, Steve, KA2PTE, and just to touch on, you said you had some kind of a bug. I've got a nurse practitioner for a daughter, and she gives three words of advice with this flu season. Wash your hands. That, as a nurse, they can't emphasize that enough. So, alrighty. Well, I'm going to move.
Okay, that was KAJOY, the net control, after your transmission, Steve. And I wanted to put the, that's sort of the end of the net, but I wanted to put the end at the beginning so we could talk about your web resource and also the 3950.net website, because one of the things that I do, in addition to posting all the recordings on the 3950.net website, is I also have the ability to create shortened URLs for any URL. Like if you've got some incredibly long URL, like the one you were giving out in that recording, in the clip I just played, for the list, that's a little complicated and a little long, especially to be copied with every detail perfect on HF radio. You can shorten that URL using one of the functions of 3950.net, and I did that for you. So now when you give out the URL for people to join the groups.io LibertyNet email list, all you have to do is tell people to go to 3950.net/list. That's it. You don't need an HTTP. You don't need a colon. You don't need a //. You don't need a www, you don't need all those slashes and g's and all that. All you need is to tell people to go to 3950.net/list, and it takes you directly to the same URL you were giving out. I just embedded that function for that particular URL in the database, and whenever people enter 3950.net/lists, it will take them to the correct place so they can sign up for the email list. So I thought that that would be a help and might encourage more people to sign up for the email list. I've been kind of remiss. I haven't posted much to the email list, but there's a lot I'd like to post. I'd like to post some pictures of my station, and I'd like to post that the diagram I made of the inverted L Marconi antenna that I designed and built and experimented with. And there's quite a few other things I'd like to post. I'm just so busy. I'm crazy busy. I have to answer to so many deadlines, etc. And got so many projects going on. But I hope that helps a little bit anyway. Try to do my part. And sometimes I wish I could do more than I do. That's probably enough for one transmission. We'll get into the current event stuff pretty quick, though. I've got two more clips I want to put up and discuss, and then probably it will be time for me to get into some other projects. But there are two more clips. One of them is 2 minutes long, approximately, and the other one is almost 5 minutes long. It's a longer one. But they're both very interesting, and they're considered some of the more interesting stuff I wanted to comment on from last night's net. There was a lot more interesting that I'm not going to comment on, so don't think these are the only interesting parts. There's a lot of interesting stuff on there. But these are the ones I wanted to comment on. But I'll save that for my next transmission. I don't want to keep my virtual carrier on for an excessively long period of time. KA2PTE and the LibertyNet Review. And I agree, that is a better title. although epilogue doesn't really mean have anything to do with postmortem. An epilogue is usually – it's a literary term, really, and it just means what happened after the story ends. You know, in other words, you write a novel or a short story and you talk about various characters and then the story ends. That doesn't mean the characters died or anything. It just means the story is over, and then you write an epilogue to explain what they're doing now. but anyway, review does sound better anyway, and it's a more accurate description of what we're doing since and it's definitely not a postmortem. Good Lord. I think that was making fun of us. KA2PTE, WB4AIO in the LibertyNet Review.
Okay, Kevin. Full copy there on that transmission. Very good. WB4AIO from KA2PTE. Yeah, I will make note of that link there, the 3950.net/list. So that's a lot easier, less characters to put over the air on a transmission. So I'll be using that when I remember to include the URL, I guess, in one of my transmissions. So last night I happened to think of doing that. Sometimes I can't think of doing that. There's so much other material going on, you know. That's the LibertyNet for you. There's so much up-to-date current event information and different perspectives on it. You know, a lot of times I get out of there and my head is still spinning, which is sort of in a good – it's a spin in a good way. I know I said last turn it's almost sort of therapeutical – been a therapeutical experience – so far for me to be involved in a net like this. And, you know, I can tell on the days when it's really had an impact, I'll actually write stuff down, you know, to sort of remember, you know, what I want to say. And there's, I can't think of any other activity that I do in my life, you know, that inspires that kind of, what my amateur radio Elmer used to, the way he used to express it was, he'd say, think, and he'd point to his ears, and he'd say, use that wet noodle between your ears. So I find the LibertyNet really inspirational. It's in that spirit of ham radio of old, and, you know, it definitely reminds me of what my original Elmer told me when I first learned about amateur radio. That was back in 1981 when I was being taught in electronics school by him, and it was a very memorable experience. So any kind of net that makes me remember that, I'll definitely be tuning in for quite a long time. So thanks for putting that in there. That's basically, I guess, a URL shortener of sorts, and it'll also, I guess, drive traffic over to your site as well. And there's a lot of LibertyNet material there going back many years that some people would probably find interesting to thumb through, as well as perhaps joining the email list. And I did get one new member on our email list from that effort last night, so it did pay off. So we're gradually attracting new people, I guess. I know that last night I listened on a SDR, I think it was N5 SDR, I can't remember the rest of the call letters, but it's in Washington, D.C., and they had a display of all the stations listening, and we did see about maybe four or five other stations listening in on 3995, in addition to me being there on that SDR. So we do have a lot of people that just listen, and I guess that's really, really good as well, because it means, you know, there's interesting things going on. You know, people are listening. They don't all, I guess, feel a need to make a transmission and get in the rotation, so to speak. But we did have a couple last night. I think one or two just came in and acknowledged, you know, checked in and said, you know, I'm here, I'm listening, and I, you know, like what I'm hearing, which is fine, too. You know, there's nothing wrong with that. We don't really have any particular protocol that we follow, and, you know, people don't have to say or do a certain thing. You know, there's been plenty that get on there and start to talk about their signal strength, and you know, what do we say now? Good luck in the contest. You know, it's just amateur radio, you know, at its finest, I think. So very good stuff last night. So, yeah, I mean, topics last night were pretty various. I know I was kind of focused on the coronavirus in China a bit. That seemed, China's always been one of my pet peeve topics on the net, and that's been kicking into high gear as well. And, of course, the Democrats, Communist Democrats, I guess Bob kind of joked about my Ver York location here, Bennington, Ver York. It's a new science experiment in, I guess, United States structure of states. You know, they claim this is really Vermont, but it's close enough to New York so that New York laws apply here, even though it's really not New York. And I'm learning that there's sort of a underlying, I want to say subterfuge, but that's not a good word. I want to, it's an old war, I guess, you know, that's still kind of going on here between New York and Vermont. There's a lot of New Yorkers here that carry on their bring their baggage, I guess, more or less is the way to put it, into Vermont, and enough of them accumulate and they start acting and creating laws as if they're in New York. You know, I'm surprised they're able to actually enforce a lot of these laws in other states as if it were New York, and it's pretty scary. So that's sort of my purpose of putting the Ver York word in there. And I guess Bob was saying that a lot of it's got to do with Bernie Sanders and his communist ways, and that could be very well be true. And he is a transplant from Brooklyn, and he's sort of responsible for a lot of the, I guess, the what little economic development Vermont has had has sort of come from his, I guess, activity over the years. He's been here since 1985. Since 1985, he's been a senator. That's amazing. That's like, 95, 2005, about almost 30 years. Amazing. A career politician that's never been voted out of office, and just by default, he wins every election, even though only a handful of people come to support his campaign at the voting booth. He wins somehow, mysteriously. And I'm guessing there's probably some kind of voter fraud there, or a lot of people are just very misinformed on his goals and ambition. And it's unfortunate. But that's the story about Ver York, in case anybody is wondering why my display here says Bennington, Ver York. Sort of an ongoing experiment that I like to try to focus and bring up on. So anyhow, I guess it'll be back to you. If there's anybody else that wants to get in on the QSO, feel free to jump in between transmissions, and we'll put you in there. Otherwise, it's back to WB4AIO from KA2PTE.
Okay, very good, Steve. KA2PTE, WB4AIO. Well, maybe instead of Ver York, it should be Burr York, because of Bernie Sanders, the senator for, it's more than 30 years. 85 to now is 35 years. That's more than a third of a century. If you go back to Bernie Sanders' first installation as senator, that would be more than a third of the way back to the time of World War I, approximately. A third of the way back to the time of World War I, 1985. That's a long time, just like you said. Anyway, Ver York. He seems, I don't know how he gets elected either. He's a Jewish communist, and you think of the people in Vermont as being kind of self-reliant New England type people of Anglo-Saxon or French extraction, most of them. And some Irish and Germans thrown in there too, but basically a self-reliant European people who don't really go for Marxism. You think Marxism would be the last thing they'd go for. And they're certainly not Jewish, not many of them anyway. So it seems like Bernie would be the opposite of what they'd vote for. So it's kind of a conundrum. Of course, I don't disagree with everything Bernie Sanders says, but his Marxism, you think for a left winger, he'd be against war, but he's been for every single war for Israel, this forever war for Israel, I call it, in the Middle East. He supports that and has continued to support it for a long, long time. Certainly disagree with that, and he's totally anti-white. And the strange thing is, most of his constituents by far are white. I think Vermont is one of the whitest states in the nation. And yet they have Bernie Sanders, who hates our very existence as a senator. I mean, I'm not 100% against socialism. I think the quality of socialism depends on whose socialism it is. You know, socialism in a homogeneous country like Norway or Sweden is a very different thing from socialism in a multiracial feeding and breeding zone like America, where really socialism is not the people getting together to help each other achieve social goals and cooperating and organizing themselves. Socialism in America and socialism in the Soviet Union was a way of one predatory group or a couple of predatory groups to steal the wealth of everybody else. And so, of course, it got a very bad name. But socialism doesn't have to be bad. It just depends on whose it is. And that's true of capitalism, too. You know, capitalism in a homogeneous all-European society is one thing. Capitalism in a free-for-all, dog-eat-dog, multiracial America or other similar society can be very, very bad. All depends on who's running it. You know, libertarianism sounds great on paper, but you know, Somalia has a very small government, and it's also a very, very bad place to live. So any system is potentially bad if bad people are running it, and potentially good if good people are running it and participating in it. Like the socialism of a highly educated, high intelligence, high genetic quality population like Norway or Sweden, it's going to be a better socialism than socialism in Liberia or Somalia. And the same is true of a libertarian, more free enterprise arrangement. If you have high-quality people and you have people who are not predatory, it's going to work better. Anyway, I'm digressing off of Bur-York. I just think Bur-York is a great name instead of Vur-York. But Vur-York's pretty good too. Anyway, let's get to this clip. But first I want to say about the Midweek Liberty Net. I think the genesis of the idea was VIX, W1WCR. And then when Vic came out with the idea, then Al N2SAG and the unlamented W3JMD ran with it for a while. And I think AB3RA ran with it for a while. I think those three guys had like rotating. If you go back and listen to the recordings, you'll see that N2SAG, W3JMD, and AB3RA rotated the net control duties for years of the Midweek Liberty Net. And then when they dropped out, then Marty took the reins and did it for a number of years also. So that's how that came into being. But I think it was Vic's idea to expand the net. Vic would like it if the net was on every night, or at least net participants were having current events and political and philosophical discussions every night of the week. He would like that, and he has encouraged that at every turn, any expansion. And I'm sure that he approves of your expansion of the net to 160, and I'm sure he approves of your expansion of the net to other venues like this one. So that's the history on that. Let's listen to the next clip. This is KO4FE, who is also like me in Western Pennsylvania. And Bill always has interesting things to say. So let's see what he said on the Liberty Net last night.
It is your turn, sir. Good Okay, K-A-A-J-O-Y, Bob, and the Liberty Net, this is K-O-4-F-E, okay. Well, conditions are pretty good. I heard Russ's recording, came in perfectly clear. Rich is coming in good. So anyway, yeah, I nicknamed that Buddha judge. I call him the butt judge because I'm sure he's judged a lot of butts in his time, so I just call him the butt judge. Anyway, this coronavirus, you know, there's one thing that, and V-Dare has been keeping track of this, and I saw a article the other day, and they talk about, you know, first death from coronavirus in Europe. Well, you read that and you find out it was a Chinese tourist. Well, anyway, V-Dare has been tracking these deaths from corona, and they found out, they say there's still no confirmed case of the coronavirus killing anyone other than ethnic East Asians. The Drudge Report today features a headline that says France reports first death outside Asia. But the underlying story from Bloomberg via Yahoo Finance says the victim was an 80-year-old Chinese tourist. Drudge, of course, is just scaring up clicks. But why does the rest of the mainstream media and the medical establishment want to suppress a possibility that could relieve fears around the world that coronavirus disproportionately impacts and perhaps only kills East Asians? And the Chinese doctors have confirmed this. They said that East Asians have a particular enzyme in their lungs that make them susceptible to these viruses. And if you see these deadly flu viruses always seem to come out of Asia. So anyway, it says, taking the opposite tack, CNN medical talking head Dr. Sanjay Gupta recently asserted that corona, quote, doesn't discriminate based on race. Why would we? Gupta put this most woke of questions to CDC Director Dr. Robert Redfield in response to the Trump administration's having decided to, in Redfield's words, temporarily suspend travel into the United States from individuals who are not Americans or permanent residents who have not been in the hot zone in the last 14 days, close quote. Now, obviously, it's paranoid nonsense to claim that this Trump policy is discriminating based on race. Chinese Canadians will have no problem entering the U.S. so long as they haven't been in the, quote, hot zone, unquote, or the last 2 weeks. In contrast, white British people who have been in the hot zone in the last fortnight will be denied access to the U.S. So anyway, it looks like this corona thing is strictly a East Asian situation. I'm not saying there nobody else could get it, but so far all the deaths have been East Asians, even if they're claimed to be in Europe or whatever. When you drill down into the story, you find out that it's a Chinese tourist or somebody that just came from China that's ended up dying from this coronavirus. So just like everything else, you can't rely on the mainstream media for anything, even on something as serious as a deadly disease. So anyway, back to you, Bob. K-A-A-J-O-Y, Liberty Net. This is K-O-4-F-E.
Thank you, Bill. K-O-4-F-E, K-A-J-O-Y. Yeah, the coronavirus has been on the news a lot. I understand another ship has got about, I want to say, 68 people.
Okay, that's KO4FE's take on the some news about the coronavirus. Every single death has been a person of East Asian ancestry, and although it may be too soon to say for sure that East Asians are more susceptible, it's possible. It's possible that they're much more susceptible because, contrary to politically correct dogma, the races are different biologically. The human races are different biologically and have different susceptibility to disease and also have different reactions to drugs and other therapies. And it's well known in the medical field that if you're of African ancestry or Asian ancestry or white European ancestry, that you might have to be prescribed differently for the same ailment because the effects of various drug compounds are not the same to people of different races. On average, there's enough of a variation where the recommended prescriptions are different, and you'll find this in the medical literature. You'll find this in the recommendations to physicians from places like the Mayo Clinic or the manufacturers of the drugs themselves. You'll find it in the medical journals. And it's also true that susceptibility to diseases is different. For example, it's well known that people of African ancestry are more susceptible to the HIV virus. Of course, others can get it, and it can be fatal to people of Asian or Middle Eastern or European ancestry. But black Africans are far more susceptible to getting infected with it. And Africa is the epicenter of the AIDS epidemic. And it seems to be much, much easier for those people to get that virus. So could there be racial differences in susceptibility to coronavirus? Absolutely there could be. It needs to be known. And we should not let political correctness stop us from investigating such things, because such things may be life or death matters. So anyway, I thought that was an interesting transmission, and V-Dare, which was the site he was quoting, had some information that the mainstream media is not talking about. And that happens a lot, doesn't it? Back over to you, KA2PTE in Burr, York, where you're feeling the burn. Of course, if you say Burr, York, the problem with that is nobody will know what you're talking about unless you explain it. Burr, York is bad enough, but Burr, York, it's funny. It's appropriate. But, man, nobody will know what the heck you're talking about. They'll think you're talking your own language. Maybe they'll think you're part of a cult. So back over to you. KA2PTE, the cult leader in Bennington. This is WB4AIO and the LibertyNet Review.
Okay, Kevin, very good. Full copy on that transmission, WB4AIO from KA2PTE. Yeah, I guess I am maybe the Blue Oyster cult leader in Ver York, I guess. Maybe that could be my new title. But good commentary on the coronavirus there, playing KO4FE's transmission. And it certainly seems that's the case. I mean, all this hype in social media, on the internet, and on all the mainstream junk media, you know, seems with this equality. You know, all races are created equal. You know, in our Constitution it says all men are created equal, but that was written by, like you have pointed out many, many times, mostly people of white, I guess, Anglo-Saxon, European ancestry. You know, those were men, you know, that wrote, and I guess they wrote that in the reflection of themselves. But this whole concept of open borders and all races welcome, you know, no matter what diseases you're carrying, you don't have to be vetted, and you know, all that nonsense that went on with that, what I call the ambassador from Kenya that I guess interned as president for the last 8 years with his homosexual wife, whatever you want to call it, you know, that whole nonsense, you know, surely taught a lot of people lessons about the races, like you have pointed out. You know, there's different characteristics of each race, and this coronavirus definitely seems to be the proof of the pudding, more or less, with regards to that, mostly the Asians seem to be dying from that. And yeah, historically too, I've read the same thing you pointed out about Africa having a very high susceptibility to HIV. And you know, there's also been some scuttlebutt about how the quote white man created AIDS and gave it to I guess we gave it to Africa. You know, for us to be that smart and that powerful, boy, you know, that's a heck of a compliment. You know, I mean, because that would have to be hundreds, maybe thousands of years of scientific research, you know, when we've only had modern civilization for, well, a very short time. I mean, I guess if you went back to the Industrial Revolution of 1900, you're only talking, you know, that capability's, you know, 100 years old or so, a little over 100 years, you know. I mean, so within the blink of an eye, we created AIDS and infected Africa with it, you know, as if we didn't have better things to do. You know, we have our own lives to run. You know, we had to make sure that the black race headed toward extinction. You know, that was our main priority in life. You know, so it's kind of comical how these theories get put out there. You know, and the white man is always to blame for the other race's demise. You know, but at the same time, a lot of the inventions that the world takes for granted, mainly like the internet, of course, started here. The electricity that powers your internet was founded and created here, with capitalistic fundamentals behind it. Although, like you said, capitalism is by no means perfect. It has done quite a lot where other types of structures like socialism have not really yielded a lot of scientific results that kind of benefit our modern, quote, civilized world, you know, to those that are capable of understanding what a modern civilized world, the goal, I guess, the idea concept of it is, you know, with your cities and sewage systems and infrastructure, you know, that are all been there, created mostly through the, I guess, although there's probably some have been of socialist origin, I guess a lot of them, at least in my time, in my experience, seem to come from the capitalist concept of pioneering ideas through that, where individual ideas are sort of empowered or looked at, you know, because they, a lot of ideas do start with one person, although sometimes it could be a collaboration of one person's idea that someone puts out there and another person builds on it. And sometimes it takes a handful of people, you know, thinking about something to get an idea out there and get it to work. So interesting comments about that, and communism versus, I guess, or socialism and communism versus capitalism and the downsides of each. And I'd say China being a communist, although they're traditionally communist, they have sort of dived into this capitalist idea, but they're still bound by their communist rules and regulations that China has, you know, which haven't really changed for thousands of years. So although you could pretend you're capitalist and, you know, make all of these things and have a huge industry over there that's unparalleled in the world, I think it's built on very weak ground. I mean, in the, you know, right now you're starting to see it, because they just have dug themselves into a dead end hole. And you know, they're, like I said on the net last night, the chickens seem to be coming home to roost with that regard. You know, they've probably even created their own disease over there. The coronavirus started right in one of their research labs, apparently. And also interesting was 5G. I mentioned that last night too. The Chinese have, you know, and this is another defect of their thinking, which may be as a result of all these communist brainwashing that's gone on. They just get an idea and they run with it. They don't test it. They don't experiment with it to see, you know, if there's going to be any adverse side effects. They just naturally assume that if the rest of the world thinks it's a good idea on the internet and there's going to be a demand and they're going to make a killing with the sales of 5G, for example, they're going to do it. It's, that's why they don't, I don't feel they believe they understand capitalism at all, because at least in my time, I've seen things tested and for safety and health reasons before they're released to the public. But when you've got Chinese imports just, you know, overwhelming the borders, and to the point where customs and immigration is outmatched, they just have to let this stuff, you know, come in, because the demand, the people will raise hell if they don't get their Kmart, Walmart, Home Depot, Lowe's, and Target cheap disposable Chinese junk. So they don't really, I don't feel they really test these things, you know, to the degree that we've done in the past. And you know, that's in a way, that's our fault too, for allowing that to happen and not having a real stable leadership model in the government. You know, and like I said, the last 8 years with that joke administration, they didn't care about stuff like this. They didn't care about the safety of the United States or the borders, and they just let anything happen that they thought was good for them. So we're in a real rough spot now with all of this stuff, but it looks like Trump's starting to turn things around slowly. He's got the rudder of the ship, the Titanic, pointing away from the iceberg, although we were hit with what seems like an iceberg and probably an asteroid, it feels like at this point. We're still here, and we're able to move the rudder and direct the ship around the next iceberg. So that's some good news for us, at least in a small way compared to what we've gone through. But where you can gain 1 inch, you can gain a mile. The journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step, so they say. I don't know if that's a Chinese proverb, but yeah, I think the Chinese have had this coming to them for quite a while. They just don't understand. You can't really, communism and capitalism aren't really, you know, compatible, and they're learning this the hard way. And I think what you said too about socialism, I mean, I've heard people say, well, what about Social Security? You know, if you're so against socialism, you know, how come you're gonna, you know, how come you're paying into Social Security? Well, number one, I believe you don't have a choice anymore. I think you used to be able to opt out of Social Security, but I don't think they let you anymore, because there's always this big question, you know, will I live long enough to actually reap my Social Security benefits? You know, there should be an option left up to the individual there for that. But, you know, in the case where you've got somebody getting older, you know, they, and I'm starting to feel this now that I'm like 55, you do sort of feel this separation from, I guess, the mainstream younger generations, where, you know, it's just, you're not on the same wavelength anymore, and you start to age, and you realize you can't rely on that anymore, as, you know, you get older and you can't work like you used to, so you're going to need some kind of source of income. So in regards to getting older, I think Social Security, probably that's a legitimate application of, I guess, socialism, but it's not really something in your prime life you should, you know, if you're healthy, you shouldn't really have to be forced into that. You should be able to choose your own destiny if you really believe in the American concept of Constitution and liberty. But a lot of that's been distorted over the last 8 years or so, and I hope we're able to get back to that old traditional system that we used to use to do things, because it's more tried and proven. I think somebody mentioned on the net last night that the transgender movement is totally against that that legacy of tradition and history that we've enjoyed. You know, they're trying to make the concept of any criticism toward that is, quote, what, hate speech? Come on, you know, it's just, again, you know, there's that younger generation coming up that's pretty scary. You know, it's so removed from anything that the older people, like of our generation or older, you know, are used to encountering. I just scratch my head with that, and I wonder what lies ahead regarding that. So anyway, this is the LibertyNet Review. Anyone else out there that wants to jump in and make comments or join the discussion is welcome to. It's a HF net that's been on the air since 1974. It's about current events, and we're reviewing the net that transpired last night on 3995 lower sideband. So if nothing else is heard, I guess it's over to WB4AIO from KA2PTE.
Okay. KA2PTE and the Liberty Net Review. This is WB4AIO, transmitting from near Mineral Point, Pennsylvania, and you're transmitting from Bennington, Vermont, or sometimes called Bennington, Ver-York. How's that? Use them both. Well, as to the younger generation being scary, a lot of baby boomers, people of my generation and a little bit older, are pretty scary too. Their ignorance is almost unsurpassed. Their misunderstanding of things is unbelievable. Just as bad as the millennials, maybe in a different way. I mean, they think we can preserve the old American way of life. This is, you know, baby boomers, people my age and older. They think we can preserve the American way of life, so many of them, through conservatism. And they think we can preserve the American way of life in a multiracial society, that we can keep multiracialism. We can keep a country with plenty of mestizos and Africans and Middle Easterners and Jews controlling all of our media and banks, etc., and yet we can still have the American way of life. That's supremely stupid and supremely ignorant. Now, they think we can preserve the American way of life with and not be concerned about race at all. That's stupid. They think that if some military white guy in the U.S. military goes and gets a Filipino wife, that's perfectly okay. He can be a conservative and a pro-American and against all this liberalism and have a Filipino wife and mixed-race children and mixed-race grandchildren, and that's all a-okay. That's insane. They're crazy. He's just as much an enemy of the American way of life as Bernie Sanders is, or the most deluded social justice warrior millennial. He's just as bad. So it's not, to me, it's not a generational thing. It's an understanding thing. It's really everything is biological. If you can grasp the concept that everything that human beings do has a biological basis, then you're on your way to understanding things. And in some ways, some liberals are, you know, they have a lot of false beliefs, just like conservatives do. But in some ways, the liberals are actually on a road to full understanding that's more advanced and better than the conservatives, especially the baby boomer conservatives, because at least some liberals understand that we live in a world in which we're part of biological reality. We're part of nature. They just haven't – they totally understand, for example, that endangered species need to be preserved. They totally understand that a species that intends to continue to exist can't allow competitors into its territory, certainly can't import millions upon millions upon millions of invasive competitors into its territory and still survive. They understand that. They think it applies to snails and frogs and deer and antelope and other creatures on planet Earth. But for some reason, they think it doesn't apply to people. And so they're only one step away from a full understanding. We have invasive species in our culture, too. And as far as capitalism versus socialism is concerned, well, I'm glad that we have socialist parks, because I think that certain parts of my state and the country should be set aside for nature to exist wild and free, and to maybe only be modified to the extent that is necessary to help people to appreciate and admire nature, maybe even worship nature a little bit, because that's what we come from, that's what we're a part of. And I'm glad we have those parks, and they're socialist. And I don't want the maximum number of Walmarts to be built and intrude on a reasonable amount of wild space. I don't think we need six-lane superhighways going through our parks and the small parts of our great forests and other landscapes that have been preserved. And I don't think we need garbage malls constructed on them or Amazon warehouses constructed on them. And so that's socialism. Those parks are socialism. Setting aside that nature, that's a kind of socialism when the government does it. Is that bad? I don't think it's bad. And I think that what makes a society thrive and be productive and as free as it can be is not capitalism versus socialism. It's who is running the government, and are they of the same race as the people? If you have one group ruling over another, you're going to have problems. If you have a group that rules over itself, then that's a lot better. And if the quality of the people is better, that's also a lot better. In fact, I would say the quality of the people is by far the most important thing as to whether a society thrives or not. And I mean the genetic quality, the actual quality of the people. That's what matters. Not the system of government, not the system of choosing leaders, not the system, not the economic system. I mean, even under the most horrible system imaginable, Soviet communism, Russia still produced the first man in space. That says a lot about the quality of the Russian people. And there's a guy who, by the way, works for a kind of a pro-capitalist outfit called the American Enterprise Institute. And his name is Charles Murray, Professor Charles Murray. And he's an interesting guy. I don't agree with some of his conclusions, but he is an honest researcher. And a very, very indefatigable data gatherer. And Charles Murray wrote a book called Human Accomplishment. And in it, he devoted years of his life to this, by the way. In it, he collects data on the greatest accomplishments as judged by the conclusions of scholars all over the world from many different cultures. What are the greatest achievements in the arts and the sciences throughout human history? Throughout human history. And he discovered something very amazing that people suspected before but was never proved absolutely until Charles Murray wrote his book a few years ago. The book is called Human Accomplishment, and that is this. That in the sciences, and in the arts, by the way, the numbers are very similar, but we'll just deal with the sciences. The greatest discoveries and the greatest figures in the sciences were proven to be 97% of them from Europe or countries of European, predominantly European descent around the world. In other words, from Europe itself or from America or Canada or Australasia. What we might call European civilization, that 97% of the greatest scientific discoveries and the greatest scientific figures are from the European world, from European civilization. And the rest of the world, Asia, which has very high IQ people, very advanced culture, added to South Asia, India, they're in some areas, they're no slouches. Add it to Africa, add it to the mestizo parts of Latin America. Of course, Argentina and Uruguay would be part of the European world because they're predominantly white. But the rest of Latin America, you add all the other parts of the world up besides the white world, all of them up add up to 3% of scientific figures and scientific discoveries, 3%. And we the people of European civilization, are 97%. That's the most important thing that you could ever know right there. That says it all. Even some of the highly intelligent peoples of the Middle East, they're in there with the 3%, not the 97%. And by the way, that rest of that 3% also, here's another thing, the way Murray organized his data, most of that 3% that was outside of the European world was really European too. And here's why. Because he created a separate category for the ancient classical civilization. Ancient Greece, ancient Rome. And most of that 3% that wasn't part of the 97% that was in the European world, most of the remaining 3% was actually from the classical civilization of ancient times, which means it was from Europe too. So really, it's more like 99%. There's something about the best minds of European civilization that has created technology, science, discoveries, and understanding of our world. There's something special about us. And even other countries that have higher average IQs than we do, including China, don't have that certain something that maybe we can't define, but I would call it creative intelligence of our best men. They don't have it to the same degree we do. And so, gee, isn't it maybe really, really, really important that we do not lose this genetic quality that we have, that we white people have? Isn't that important even for the other peoples of the earth? Isn't that the most important thing that we should never lose is the current genetic quality of the white race? That's the most important thing in the universe. And yet, that's the very thing that the people who run our media, who are mostly of Middle Eastern descent, and the people who run the politicians in this country want to get rid of. It's the greatest crime in the world if you want to defend the European race. It's the greatest crime in the world for you wanting to stop the invasion of Europe or North America, or, you know, America in particular. It's the you're a most horrible person. You're morally evil if you want to preserve that. And yet, that's exactly what we must preserve. That's exactly what we need to preserve. It's the most important thing in the whole universe. So that's my view on that. Oh, and all those people who created these scientific inventions, they were from many different economic systems. Some were more socialist. Some were out-and-out communist. And some were capitalist. Some were more or less on the American style of free enterprise. What matters is the genetic ancestry, not really the economic system. The economic system is less important. It's the genetic ancestry that really makes the difference. So anyway, let's go on to the Liberty Net and forget about my comments for a moment. Let's listen to what Rich, KB2DMD, had to say on the Liberty Net last night. And then this will be my last clip because my sweet and beautiful wife has awakened and we have lots of things to do today. So here's the clip from KB2DMD.
Yeah, these puberty blockers. I didn't know a lot about those, Russ. So thanks for bringing that up. And it's incredible. And you're absolutely right. It's yet another LGBTQP whatever attack. You know, again, pointing to the strength of the homo lobby in America and the ability to violate the law, you know, and framing opposition to such a violation as a hate crime or whatever label they care to hang on it. Getting immunity hiding under the banner of deviance to legitimize these kind of things. Just terrible. Look at this HPV vaccine. Vaccines in and of themselves are quite dangerous, we're finding out. Very many of them have purposely added cancer viruses, cancer-causing viruses, mercury, things that are not at all healthy and outright dangerous, right down to the flu shot. But the HPV vaccine, now talk of giving it to boys, and I believe that's being done in some states. Awful. So, an out-and-out attack on America's children.
So there you go. That's KB2DMD. And I sometimes Rich and I have disagreed on things, but I definitely agree with him that the LGBTQ agenda is very toxic and very dangerous and threatens us as a people. It's actually a form of extermination via destroying our ability to reproduce normally. There are actual literal exterminators who try to exterminate various kinds of insects, for example, and they will, in some circumstances, create chemicals or objects that disrupt the mating of the target species. They want to exterminate a certain species of insect. They will spray things into the air that confuse the sexual signals so that the insects don't know which flies, for example, to mate with. And they'll mate with the wrong sex. And that leads to the death of the species, at least in that area. And that's what's being done to us. They will also, sometimes exterminators will do things like they will put objects into the environment of the target species that appear to be female members of that species, but really are just inanimate objects, and they will trick the males into mating with these inanimate objects, an inappropriate object, and that of course produces no next generation, and it exterminates. It's a step in the extermination of that species. Well, that's being done to us too. That's what this transgender stuff is they've convinced us, the enemies of our people have convinced us, at least a growing percentage of us, that it's perfectly okay, in fact, even laudable and maybe even heroic to support these confused people who want to mutilate their own genitals and have these mutilation, these puberty blocking chemicals prevent them from developing their normal sexual characteristics and to mutilate their bodies so they can never have children again. Well, that's something an exterminator would do. So I think that's the way we need to view it. Anyway, that's my last clip, and I probably should sign out, but I'm going to listen carefully and to what you say, and I'm going to come back one more time. So I will come back one more time, but I do have to go. It's been great and mind-stretching, as always. KA2PTE, where you can actually see Bernie on the horizon from your QTH. This is WB4AIO. Over to you, Steve.
Okay, Kevin, full copy on that transmission. WB4AIO from KA2PTE in Verjork. And no other stations heard in between the breaks of our QSO here on CQ100. But if anyone else is wandering around and wants to know what's going on, this is the Liberty Net Review. It's a follow-up discussion on the net broadcast of the Liberty Net last night on HF 3995 KC amateur radio, where topics of current events are discussed, and we had several check-ins last night, and Kevin just played a clip from KB2DMD over in, I think he's in Pennsylvania as well, who's a very, very, let's say, interesting participant in the Liberty Net. He really has some energizing commentary, feedback, and views on things. He definitely sort of stretches my mind at times, and when he's sort of like a dog with a bone. When he gets something, he just does not let go of it. And with regard to the LGBTQ, with the P on the end being pedophile. You know, that's basically the, I guess that's the progression of the mental illness, sexual mental illness, in a nutshell, that's sort of plaguing the, seems like to me, the younger crowd. But I mean, they say, you know, well, homosexuality, they say, has been around, you know, for ever since man's been around, you know, and it shouldn't be, I guess, concealed like it is, and blah, 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 blah. But like, I think it was KO4FE said, you know, the last night on the net, he said that, you know, that that mentality really doesn't, there's no productive contribution back into society. The, you know, that's not going to really yield any more children or population back into the culture. And there was another catchy kind of phrase, I think, he or Richie put on the end. I can't think of it. I thought it was kind of clever. It sort of sums that last statement I made up in a nutshell, where they're not contributing back. It's, I guess it's more or less like a take with no give, is maybe something like that. What somebody had coined a phrase for it, but that's sort of an example of what comes up on the LibriNets, topics like that, and different perspectives on them. I find it really helpful because you know, in the mix of all these things that are going on in this country and the world, there's so many different things that are pretty powerful and impact our lives in so many ways. I just find the people bringing up these topics on the net, you know, they're really doing a good service by putting them out there and reminding us that that's what's going on. And we seem to cover a lot of ground with each participant. I know China is always one of my pet peeves, and I guess Kevin, you know, your feedback about Israel has really opened up a lot of my eyes. I guess I've always sort of known a little bit about that, you know, in the background, but being I'm originally from New York, which is more like they should really call New York NATO now, because NATO headquarters, I think, is over in New York, and there is a huge Jewish lobby in New York, especially in the banking and monetary and the Wall Street, I guess, quote, systems that are in place there that New Yorkers sort of take for granted. You know, the money that comes out of there sort of blinds people, and I guess I can sort of admit to having been blinded in that way, you know, by that cult or whatever you want to call it, you know, where it's pretty much now I can understand there's money is just really printed out of thin air in those systems, and it's got nothing to do with actually people, blue-collar people working and, you know, going to jobs where you actually put in, you know, 8, 4, 8, 10 hours, and you've got a salary, and it actually, your, you know, your physical work actually translates into labor and money, where in that system it's all based on, I guess, trends, and what I see as gambling, you know, gambling, insurance, plotting trends in markets, you know, where everybody's going to be buying, I don't know, pork bellies, and then investing in pork belly stocks, and then now you're a millionaire because, you know, you invested, I don't know, $10,000 on a pork belly stock, and it's, you know, what they say, money, it takes money to make money, you know, which, you know, I don't know if that's a real attractive lifestyle for me. I could never do that because I guess eventually, you know, your luck is going to run out, and you know, you may be rich for a while, but it's going to be a short-lived experience, you know. And the tendency for this, you know, the money seems to really corrupt people's minds. You know, the more money they get, in a lot of ways, they get worse. You know, there's people that get money and all they wind up doing with it is destroying themselves. They go bankrupt very fast because they get addicted to things, whether it's drugs, sex, eating, you name it. You know, there's plenty of dead ends with your money to fall into. I sort of feel blessed in a way that I'm sort of waking up to the way that New York sort of, I guess, brainwashes people with the money. You know, the money becomes more important than actually people. You know, I find now people are a more valuable asset and resource that money, you know, money shouldn't be able to buy. Unfortunately, a lot of people don't understand their potential in life yet, and they're sort of, you know, still believe in that money, you know, and it does, I guess, translate back into capitalism. You know, if you believe in capitalism to the extreme, you're probably going to put more money before people, you know. And I think about Donald Trump, you know, and you've mentioned his, I guess, character defects, you know, which are noteworthy, you know, because he is from New York and he is sort of in that same system that I grew up in, where it's based on the corruption of the banks and Wall Street and the free money. I think he's hopefully going to wake up to that soon, although he's still showing a tendency to use that as the way to fund, I guess, the government, as opposed to the people actually deciding, you know, what taxes they're going to pay and where the money is going to. He's sort of still relying on that system where it comes out of thin air, I'm guessing. I don't know, but it could be, some of it could really be taxpayer money that he's using, but I don't think that's enough now, especially what they did a study years ago, and they said that only about 50% of people actually pay their income taxes. It's happened under the Obama administration. I guess a lot of people just wouldn't touch that system with a 10-foot pole, which is probably a smart move in the end. But I also look at Trump, and I think his choice of not taking a salary for the presidency was noteworthy, where you look at past presidents like Obama and Clinton, who really made more money being president than they did when they had their regular, well, Clinton had a regular practice. Obama didn't even have a lemonade stand. He never even ran a lemonade stand, yet he was in charge of the most powerful superpower, arguably, on the planet. You know, it's amazing we're still even here, and we're not just standing on a cinder, burnt cinder of a planet, and having our queso at the North Pole or something, where it's cold and we can't be affected by radiation. But you know, when you look at Trump saying he's not going to take a salary, you know, he doesn't really need the money. So I'm thinking he's in there for the, you know, MAGA, Make America Great idea about turning the country around. And, you know, despite his defects, he's been able to do some really good things. I heard today that I think it was on one of the other nets on CQ100, he actually did away with that, what do they call it, the death tax, where your inheritance is not going to be touched anymore. I guess your estate, there was that crazy law that came out, I guess, you know, under Obama's rule of terror, where they said your estate is going to be taxed. So anything you inherit, the government's going to take a part of that, which, you know, further really enraged a lot of people. But I believe I heard this morning that that was something Trump did away with. So I think he does have our best interest at heart. But it's going to be a while before he even wakes up to the terror, I guess, the best way I'd describe it, you know, of being in New York, you know. And he got to watch 9/11 happen in his backyard, and I don't really think he liked it too much, but let's face it, a lot of people, that took a lot of people off guard. New Yorkers were shocked at that happening. I wasn't surprised. I got out of there way before that. I knew something was going to happen, and it was not going to be good. My gut was right. I listened to my gut and got as far away from that place as I could, as painful as it was to leave there and be away from what I think were a lot of really good, pioneering, patriotic New Yorkers that were irreplaceable. You know, I had to just say I have to do what I have to do for myself and get away from that. I think Trump was sort of a little bit like one of those people. If I actually knew him, I would have felt bad leaving there leaving those people, but you know, at the same time, a lot of them really didn't, were in denial. They didn't want to hear how bad things were. I knew how bad things were, but I couldn't convince anybody, so I had to do what was right for myself, and I think I made the right choice getting out of there and just watching it happen on TV instead of actually being a victim in the rubble, so to speak. But, you know, I can only imagine the repercussions something like that has on a New Yorker's life, you know, and there are some that will wear that as a badge, you know. I think that's sort of what's going on now when I talk about them getting out of New York and going into other states, and they're sort of bringing that baggage of terror with them, whether they realize it or not, when they're actually trying to live a life, a New York life, somewhere else. That's just not going to happen. I can speak from experience. When you go somewhere else, you're somewhere else, totally different, and it's not New York. Thank God. Thank God it's not New York. But it's surprising to me the success, you know, looking at Bernie Sanders, you know, for an example, the success he's had being a Brooklyn New Yorker, bringing the Brooklyn kind of mindset to Vermont and infecting it. It's taken, yeah, 30 years, but it's amazing the damage that's been done to even a small state with a low population like Vermont. You know, that corruption really is very toxic. That's a really, very good example. But, you know, with Trump, I think he's got the right heart. And if he was really one of these people that didn't appreciate enormous wealth, he would have probably, you know, found a vice or two, smoking, I mean, marijuana or drugs, or, you know, plenty of New Yorkers have found enormous amounts of wealth and killed themselves with it. But he's sort of realizes the value, I guess, of his inheritance, you know, being born with something like, I don't know, $16 million. You know, that's going to be a good life no matter what. But, you know, I think it takes a special kind of person to really appreciate your good fortune and then actually reinvest it back in certain ways that will help the country. And I think that's sort of what his intentions were in New York. You know, but anybody that's in New York and wants to come out of that place unscathed, good luck. You know, you're going to have some really sore, obvious defects that stand out, you know, and I know because I've been there. I'm only starting to wake up to some of them myself. You know, there are not a lot of really good things that come out of New York, but there were a handful of people back in the day that wanted to turn it around, and it did have some success for a while. It was a really good state in the United States, probably the an example at one point for other states to follow. And I'm really glad at least I was part of that in some small way back in the 80s and 90s when there was a huge economic boom and there was a lot of positive energy there, you know, for a long time, at least until the deep staters decided to be parasitic toward it and make up all these laws that, well, you can't do this, you can't do that, you know, then that pretty much ruined it. It was only a matter of time, I think, before 9/11 happened when you actually removed power from the people and transferred it into the state government and made all these laws that were really unconstitutional. And New York is still suffering from that to this day, and they're still going on that path. The leadership in there, Cuomo, de Blasio, they really just transformed into total pure communists now. People are leaving New York in the droves, which is probably a good thing. So, again, I guess that's why I'm calling Vermont Ver-York, because it's close enough to New York to actually be involved in some of that kind of shenanigans. So good transmission out of you, Kevin, there, and thanks for setting aside some time today and coming here and kicking off the Liberty Net Review. And in case anybody else is out there, this is a discussion on the Liberty Net that transpired last night on 3995 KC on amateur HF radio. It's a current events discussion, the longest one on amateur radio since 1974, and we show up here sort of consistently for the last month or so, about 10:30 or so Eastern time, and we try to play some clips from the net and talk about some things and try to stretch each other's minds a little further and wrap our heads around what's going on in the world and listen to the different perspectives and commentary and feedback on things. And I find it pretty therapeutic at times. So right now it's myself and WB4AIO. Anybody else that's spinning their Cormac VFO and wants to make themselves known, I guess you can step forth and we'll be glad to hear from you. Otherwise, if there's nothing heard in that pause, it's back over to WB4AIO from KA2PTE.
Okay, very good, Steve. KA2PTE in Ver York, Vermont, whatever it is. This is WB4AIO on the LibertyNet Review. And very good, very interesting transmission, and very interesting thoughts on New York and New York City. I'm glad you got out before you became a victim. It's not just 911 victims in New York. There are many, many other kinds of victims. And that de Blasio, of course, is unspeakable, not only as he betrayed his people by his out-and-out communism and anti-white activities, but he's betrayed his people by racial mixing. He's married outside his race, and so he's a perfect symbol and a servant of the New World Order that misrules us. So I have no use for de Blasio, whatever. And speaking of 9/11, or not, the disaster that you managed to foresee to some extent. Dr. William Pierce, who was a friend of mine and a writer, great writer, said in the mid-1990s, he said, stay out of tall buildings. And he was specifically referring to some of the earlier attempts by the Arabs to take vengeance on America, especially New York, for what the American and Jewish power structures had done to them. And he, Dr. Pierce, very presciently stated, stay out of tall buildings. And a few years later, we all know what happened. And by the way, if you want to read any of my writings or Dr. Pierce's writings, there's a lot of them up on nationalvanguard.org. That's all one word, nationalvanguard.org. And if anybody's interested in these discussions, the LibertyNet discussions or the LibertyNet review, they can visit 3950.net. And there are a lot of recordings there. And if they want to join in email discussions about the net and related topics, they can go to 3950.net/list. And they can subscribe to the email list, which is run by Steve, KA2PTE, who's right on QSONet with us here. And I'll just say one last thing. You're talking about money, and I agree with what you said about money and how money can lead people in the wrong directions, and money in the wrong hands can be very destructive. And I think money that's dishonestly got is often destructive. And if you think about it, anybody who just shuffles paper for a living is really not doing anything that's needed. It's a parasitic existence, and to me that's dishonest. Somebody who trades one piece of paper for another and becomes wealthy, he is leeching off the people who are really working. I mean, the guy who's trading pieces of paper, whether they're called bonds or stock certificates or pork belly futures or whatever they might be called, he's a parasite on the guys who actually build the buildings and design the buildings, design the generators, make the clothes, farm the food, run the grocery stores, invent the software and the transceivers and the technology that makes the modern world work. All those people are producing something. They're doing something that that adds to this world and is necessary. But as somebody who's just gathering wealth through clever choosing of the right piece of paper, is he really doing anything to build this world? Did he build anything? I think the paper shufflers need us, but we sure as heck don't need them. And thus are many revolutions born. Okay, Steve, I'm going to go and do some things with my wife and my collie, and you have an excellent day and stay on the healthy track, but this will be my last one. 73, it's been really good sharing ideas with you. KA2PTE and the Liberty Net Review, WB4AIO, saying 73, and good luck in the contest.
Okay, Kevin, thanks. WB4AIO from KA2PTE. All right, yeah, very good hearing you in here today, and thanks again for kicking off the discussion with the clips and everything, making the recordings of the nets, and running the 3950 site and putting in the link to the shortening, the link for the web resource that I run, all that stuff. Very good work, very good commentary, and very thought-provoking as usual. So thanks again for being here. I enjoyed it. And even though it was just you and I think we're still carrying on the LibertyNet tradition, and Victor would be glad to listen, and maybe with a little bit of luck, if his health keeps up, he'll be downloading the Cormac transceiver and getting on here. So we do happen to be in here on the free day, which is good, and anybody that downloads the virtual ionosphere transceiver gets 30 days free trial to evaluate it in full, and then after that expires, you do get the free day, which is basically on Sundays. But if you've got a little bit of that daylight savings time going on, it does stretch into sort of from Saturday into Sunday, I believe. It sort of switches. So you do get a day for free no matter what, even if your license registration expires. But I think it's only $40 for a year, and seems to be a pretty good value. You know, you can talk to any amateur radio station all over the world, and has its benefits over an actual station. If your station malfunctions or your antenna gets wiped out, you could still keep in touch with those other hams that you want to keep in touch with this way, instead of relying on the regular ionosphere, which can be flaky at times. So, all right, 73, and yeah, thanks for the comments about my voice. I guess my sinuses do seem to be improving a little bit each week here. So I know my voice sounds a little bit more normal, and I'm feeling a little bit better, getting more rest each passing week, and making sure my diet stays fairly nutritious and I don't put myself at risk. So with these viruses going around, it is pretty tricky this year, especially. This is what I call the flu season on steroids. And boy, you know, it's probably the worst year health-wise that I've ever had, but looks like I'm finally over the hump of that, and I'm starting to get well, and I hope that trend continues. So, yeah, I guess this is the final round. Thanks again for being here, and anyone else that's out there listening, thanks for listening, and you can check out any more resources about the LibertyNet on 3950.net, pretty much has a lot of good reliable material there that Kevin WB4AIO maintains. And with that, I will, let's see, I'll find the new net ending logo that Paul and the web resource made, and I'll transmit that, which pretty much says the frequency is now available for regular amateur use. And thanks for being here, and I guess we'll see you next time on the next Liberty Net review, which will happen on about a week from today at about 10:30. We try to finish up about 1 o'clock. It looks like it's noontime, finished up about lunchtime, which is a little earlier, but we did get in, 10:30, 11:30, an hour and a half, which is plenty of discussion time. So 7-3s to everybody, and enjoy the rest of your evening from KA2PTE and WB4AIO.